to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Thank you, Johnny Bowden. Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, Feb 25. We've got four more days of summer before we move into autumn. My name's Joe Pignataro, taking you through the Breakfast Bite this morning. Are Australia back on track at the Women's T20 World Cup? Well, it didn't look that way when they were sitting 3-10, but thanks to Rachel Haynes and Meg Lanning, the Aussies survived a second straight loss.
The call is to Meg Lanning. She's quick. She's going to come back. They're pushing hard. The throw comes in, and they get there. Plenty of cheers from the Australian support. Australia have done it after a tense first six overs. Australia have gone over the line. An important partnership with Lanning and Haynes. And a gentle smile on the face of Chamari Attapattu, because she knew how close Sri Lanka got.
Yeah, only just three balls to spare for the Australian women's cricket team, but they're on the board at the Women's T20 World Cup. We're 23 days away from the AFL season. Some clubs have announced 9-man leadership groups. Other clubs have announced 7. The Demons yesterday, they've settled on 2. Just 2 players, Jack Viney and RSN's own Max Gawn.
I've sort of been through every position there is possible. I've played 50 AFL games in a row. I played 1 year where I went 1 VFL, 1 AFL for the whole season. I played 1 year all the way down the VFL. I've been injured for a whole year. So I've definitely been involved in almost anything you can be at a football club. I've been unprofessional, and I've now got my habits and standards to a level that's good enough to lead a club. So I think that is one of my strengths, and that's what I'll be using.
There he is, the self-confessed class clown. We're going to hear more from the big fella, Max Gawn, in a moment. Plus, we'll check in with the Australians in South Africa. We've got the wash-up from the Australians' win in Perth, and we're building up to the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, as well as the Breakfast Club at 6 o'clock.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
27 minutes to 6 on this Tuesday morning. After 6 o'clock, Scotty Gallen is back in the studio alongside Adam White and Daniel Harford. It's their best Tuesday show of the week. Russell Milton will join the guys just after 6:30. Liverpool this morning will take on West Ham. That game's around 7 o'clock, and they've got the chance, Liverpool, to continue to have a 22-point gap ahead of Manchester City. West Ham, though, they're fighting for relegation, so there'll be plenty on the line in that game. That starting around 7 o'clock this morning. We'll have all the updates throughout the morning on that one. We'll try and find you a winner on the early mail just before 7. And then after 7 o'clock, Scotty Jamieson, the Melbourne City captain. They've had a long time to think about their 1-0 loss to Wellingham. It was back on February 15, 10 days ago, in their game this weekend is at Amy Park against the Brisbane Roar. It's on Sunday at 6:30, the latest possible time to play sport. You reckon Sunday at 6:30. It's a doubleheader. The City W League side are playing beforehand. So if you're floating around Melbourne Park precinct and you've got nothing else to do on Sunday evening, head down there and watch Scotty Jamieson and the Melbourne City men and women go in action against the Brisbane Roar. Liz Clay, touted as the next Sally Pearson of Australian hurdles. She won the Australian 100-metre hurdles at the Sydney Track Classic over the weekend in a time of 13.01. We'll chat to her about her goals and ambitions for this year, the Olympic year 2020 in Tokyo. Matt Clark, the Adelaide AFLW coach, before 8 o'clock, will join the guys. They dropped their round one game, the Adelaide Crows, to the Brisbane Lions, but since bounced back and won their last two, keeping their premiership credentials well and truly intact. And this weekend is the AFLW Grand Final rematch. Half and the Carlton girls are heading back over to Adelaide. So we'll put the two coaches toe-to-toe on the Breakfast Club this morning. And then after 8 o'clock, our headline guest for the day is the Melbourne captain, Max Gawn. They've opted to go with just captain and vice-captain this year in Jack Viney and Big Max. He's a self-confessed class clown. You heard him a little bit earlier there in the opening grab saying he's done just about everything with his experience, coming off a year of injury, having a one game in the VFL, one in the AFL, all that type of thing. So we're looking forward to chatting to Max about how not only he's matured into the player that he is today and such a dominant ruckman in the competition, but just the honour of being the Melbourne captain. And then just to finish off before 8:30, Jacob Oram, former New Zealand fast bowler. He's a bowling coach with the New Zealand women's cricket side. They got their campaign off on the right foot by beating Sri Lanka in their first game. They're up against India at the Junction Oval this Thursday. So we're looking forward to chatting to Jacob Oram all about that. That's after 6 o'clock with the Breakfast Club. Before that, though, we've got to get through the news of the morning so far. And we'll start with the women's T20 cricket. The Australian women, they kept Sri Lanka to 122. 6 for 122. It was their captain, Adipadu, making 50 from 38 balls, including 2 sixes and 7 fours. She was hitting them all over the park. There wasn't much help from the rest of the Sri Lankans. On the bowling side of things, Melissa Strano came in, took 2 for 23. Carey took 2 for 18. Jess Johannesson, 1 for 23. And Megan Schutt took 1 for 15. And she missed a run out, unfortunately, that would have made it even more easier for the Australians. And we say easier when you're sitting at 3 for 10 off 3.2 overs. It didn't look all that easy. There were memories of 3 days ago when they went down to India, but they managed to get the job done, and it was through Rachel Haynes, who finished with a 60, Meg Lanning, 41, not out. They were the two that helped Australia get over the line. Let's have a listen, firstly, to the captain, Meg Lanning, who's happy with the Australians getting their first win of the tournament, all thanks to Fox Sports.
At 10 for 3, what was being said in the dugout?
Well, luckily I was out there and I got to do something about it. We just need to build a partnership and get the scoreboard moving a little bit. Luckily we were only chasing 120, so it sort of allowed us a little bit of time to get into it. It was certainly a nicer feeling to have the win on the board. We would have liked to have played better, and we definitely need to improve heading into the next couple of games, but sometimes it's nice to just get off the mark. And I thought our bowling was really good today, our fielding was good, and just a little bit of a unsettling start with the bat.
10 for 3 at the start. If you just tuned in at that point, you would think they'd be all out for 3, but obviously going with the scorecard the other way around, they did manage to bounce back, and it was all through Rachel Haynes. She made 60 off 47 balls, hit 4 fours, 2 sixes in her innings, coming in the middle of the order. She wasn't there at the end, unfortunately, because she was stumped, but she was definitely making all the play, and she was named player of the match. Here she is speaking to Fox Sports after the match.
We knew we just needed a good partnership just to settle things down. And to be honest, when I got out, I wasn't great. I was feeling, I knew that I'd probably made a little bit of a mistake not trying to see it through. But, obviously a good partnership and nice to get the first win out of the way. A couple of our girls, I think, just got stuck on the crease and didn't quite get forward enough. But by the time I got out there, I thought it'd settled down a little bit. The spinners were just skidding on and the ball wasn't swinging as much. So it was a matter of just playing through the line of delivery and hitting to space. Yeah, look, to be honest, I think I've come off a pretty lean run in WBBL, and it was really nice that I've been supported by our squad, and the selectors too showed a bit of faith in me, which is nice. So yeah, it's nice to repay that faith and contribute today. Perhaps today shows a bit of our character. World Cup cricket isn't easy, and there's lots of pressure on every game you play because winning is so important. It's not like playing a normal series where if you drop a game you've got an opportunity to get back in it. Today was really important for our team. It's nice to get the first one out of the way at home and have the support of the home crowd as well. So T20 cricket's all about momentum, and hopefully we can carry that on to Canberra.
They're sitting third at the moment, the Australian women's cricket side. India first in their group. New Zealand sitting second, the Australians third. Their next match is on Thursday, as Rachel Haynes just mentioned in the grab there. It's against Bangladesh, who are at the bottom of the group table, and the game is in Canberra. There are no games today. Just quickly wrapping up, yesterday's other game was India beating the Bangladesh women. They made 6 for 142. Bangladesh, in reply, 8 for 124 off their 20 overs. They fell short by 18 runs. So no games today. Tomorrow there are two. The England women take on the Thailand women. That game starts at 3 o'clock, rolling into the West Indies up against Pakistan tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So the Australian cricket side for the women's, they're on the board in the Women's T20 World Cup. Speaking of the Australian cricket side, the men's side of things, they're over in South Africa at the moment. We know the series is now drawn at 1-1 after South Africa claimed the second of the T20 games. Fast bowler Kane Richardson has spoken to the media overnight, and he said that playing in a pressure game like the one coming up is going to be very good experience for the men coming with the ICC T20 World Cup around the corner in October. This is him speaking after their second game loss to South Africa.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the whole point of, I assume, these series is to try and emulate that going forward into a World Cup. So I know a week ago England and South Africa were in the same position in that third game, so it's valuable experience for everyone. yeah, we just try and learn from it and win on Wednesday night. We obviously want to win every game and win every series, but I think looking forward, the big picture view is if we can get those chases right in a World Cup final or a semi or something like that, then we'll take the experience now.
Always good to get the experience early and then remember it when it does come around. He did say, though, that the loss was a tough one for the Australians to take.
Yeah, that hurt. I think the change room right now is pretty down, but I think everyone knows there's an opportunity to learn from it and then go out on Wednesday night and win a series. So that's the big picture view. But, you know, if in Australia we come up on a pitch like that, we've got to learn from it. But to be fair, they bowled and fielded very well, and especially compared to the other night, they came up and about and ready for it. So, yeah, I think we feel like we lost it and they probably felt like they won it.
Most certainly agree with that one, Kano. He does say that he's relishing rather than worrying about playing at the highest level. He's just out there enjoying every time that he does represent Australia in the green and gold.
Well, there's always pressure in international cricket, but I don't put any on myself at all because this is the bonus on top of, you know, being a cricketer. It's playing international cricket. So for me, I just trying to have fun when I played for the Renegades and for South Australia. And if I do well enough, I'll play. If I don't, then I'll stay there. So this is a bonus. No pressure at all on myself, but knowing there's good guys on the bench here as well in Sean Abbott and Jai Richardson, have to keep performing, and that's the way it should be. So, yeah, it's not intimidating or anything like that. I just got to perform because my name isn't as big as those other guys.
And you just hear him there talking about his spot coming up in the future. It said he does believe he's not guaranteed a spot in the T20 World Cup side, and he definitely isn't currently taking his position in the Australian side for granted.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm keep getting picked and I keep performing, I think I'll be there, but there's so much that can happen, so much can change, pitch conditions. I mean, I don't know what goes into selection and, you know, whether it is certain grounds that I'll be suited to more at, but I think for me, I've got to try and be the best bowler I can, and if I can be picked to play at any ground on any wicket, then that's the goal. So those two blokes on the bench are breathing down my neck, and, you know, there's Josh Hazlewood's back home as well, so there's some good competition, but yeah, just try and perform and see what happens. Yeah, but I think I'm giving myself a good opportunity to be there in 6 months' time.
We hope he is, for his sake and for the Australian's sake. He's playing very well at the moment, is Kane Richardson. After Wednesday night's T20 International, there is 3 ODIs as part of this series. Of course, it's all building up for the Australian Men's World Cup in October, the T20 World Cup, that is. Before we move away from cricket, this has been doing the rounds on social media in the last 24 hours. American President Donald Trump, in a recent visit to India, he's raised plenty of eyebrows with his unique pronunciation of two of India's cricketing greats. Have a listen to this.
Where your people cheer on some of the world's greatest cricket players, from Sachin Tendulkar to Virat Kohli.
There you go. Sachin Tendulkar and Virat Kohli. Donald Trump, maybe should stick to his golf game. In fact, I read yesterday in an article that given all the money he earns as the president of America and the amount of times he plays golf, he's in fact the 10th highest paid sports person in America, Donald Trump. He's also doing plenty for the country that most people tend to either agree or disagree with, but politics is not what we touch on here on The Breakfast Bite. Let's move over to the footy world, and there might be a few politics with leadership groups. I mentioned at the top, some clubs, including the Brisbane Lions, have announced 9-man leadership groups. St Kilda last week announced a 7-man leadership group. The Melbourne Footy Club yesterday just announced the 2, Max Gawn and Jack Viney. So Jack Viney will step down as the captain. He'll be the vice-captain, and the big ruckman, Maxi, has been announced the captain. Here he is yesterday speaking at the official press conference that welcomed him as captain of the Demons.
I've been in the leadership group since 2016, been vice-captain the last 2 years, so I know that my peers have valued the way I lead, and I was always, if I was needed like I am now, I'm ready to take the role, and I'm excited to take the role, but I haven't really necessarily been aspiring it when I was a young player. I just wanted to play a game to start. I've been laminated the class clown when I first got drafted, and it took me a while to shake that, and being able to have a jovial conversation at the same time as being able to hit that person up is almost one of my strengths now. So I'm slowly getting better at that. I'll continue to improve, and I'll need people to help me improve, and that is the area that I'll need to improve on. But it's fun developing in that part. it's fun growing up and seeing your peers grow up and working with Clayton Oliver and Christian Petracca, who, as you can imagine, can be a handful at times. And it's fun. It's just fun working with these guys.
There's Max Gawn on the announcement yesterday. It was also great to hear him talk about the late Jim Steins and the relationship he had with him. Of course, Max did wear the number 37 when he came to the footy club back in 2011 and then moved in to number 11 that Jim made so famous. He's played 120 games so far, has the Melbourne Ruckman managed to get 21 games in last year, 25 the year before in the All-Australian year that he had. And he was asked about Jack Viney and the fact that he's now moved from the captain to the vice-captain, and here's what he had to say on that.
Yeah, caught up for brekkie this morning, just at the local cafe, which is good. Me and Jack have a great relationship, and I remember 2 years ago, obviously, when he got voted as captain, he pointed me out and said, it's going to be me and you that are going to take this club forward, and I said the same thing to him this morning. It's going to be me and him that's going to keep taking this club forward. Obviously, we're going to need a lot of help, and we're asking the other 43 players to help us, but it's pretty clear in my mind that nothing changes, really. Jack continues doing what he's doing, and I continue doing what I'm doing.
So nothing changes, according to Max. Well, what about at Jack's end of the stick? He spoke to Channel 7 last night, and obviously he's disappointed not to be announced the skipper for 2020.
Good, mate. Club's made a decision, and we're all grown men. The club's ready for a sole captain to take the reins and takes forward. So that aside, Max is a man, and I'm good with that.
Hope he very much puts his best foot forward, Jack Viney, in 2020, and I have no doubt that he will for his sake and for the Demons. The coach, Simon Goodwin, he was asked about the announcement of the two leaders yesterday at the press conference.
It was pretty clear that we had a big group of players with leadership potential. And in saying that, we wanted a real collective approach to our leadership. So in saying that, we wanted to refine our leadership. We were going to go with a captain and a vice-captain. No formal leadership group, which I think is probably a good thing for our footy club. So this day is obviously about the guy next to me. He's going to be announced captain of the Melbourne Footy Club, and Jack Viney will be vice-captain.
So there is Simon Goodwin making it all official yesterday. There's no leadership group at the Demons, just Max Gawn, captain Jack Viney as vice-captain, which obviously led to more pressing questions about Jack Viney, and Simon Goodwin was all too willing to answer them.
He was disappointed, as you would hope so. You know, he's a very passionate man, Jack, and he takes his leadership very seriously. And, you know, it's a great honour to be a captain of a footy club. But you don't know Jack Viney if you don't understand where he comes from. There's one thing since the moment he's walked through these doors, it's to make this club great and be a part of something really special. His leadership won't change. The way he plays won't change. And my conversations with him have been really simple. He's all in. He wants this club to be the best club it can be. He wants to support Max in the best way he can. And there'll be people out there that'll say, you know, is he all in? Well, if you ask that question, you don't know Jack Viney. And you know, he's never been more passionate about this footy club. When you go through the votes, if you want to put it in that way, the votes of the playing group, there was two standout guys in the leadership stuff. There was Max and there was Jack. Now, Jack wants to be the best leader he can be. We need to find a way where he can be even more effective in his style and the way he goes about it. And, you know, as Jack wants to develop in that space, that's the first thing he asked. How can I be more effective in my leadership style? Because he wants to be the best leader he can be. But we need to be really clear. There was two guys that stood out across the whole playing group, and it was Max and Jack.
Sure, there'll be other players stepping up to help both. Max Gawn and Jack Viney. We'll hear from Max himself after 8 o'clock on The Breakfast Bite. It is 10 minutes to 6. We're not too far away from The Breakfast Club starting. After the break, we've got some soccer news to get through. Caitlin Ford has scored on debut for Arsenal. We've got Olympics to get through as well as a couple of
other
minutes.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
6 o'clock and The Breakfast Club.
An opening here. Roared. Van der Donk. Saved by Harris. And in. Caitlin Ford gets her goal on her debut. As Lewis were up the field, they were caught on the counter, and Arsenal finally break their resistance.
So there's Caitlin Ford scoring on debut for the Arsenal women in the FA Women's Cup yesterday, the fifth round, Arsenal 2 beating Lewis 0. Continue on their merry way. Caitlin, of course, taken from Sydney FC just after the new year, over to Arsenal. She makes her debut. In a few days' time, she'll be back in Australia. She'll be playing for the Matildas in their two-game qualifier for the Olympics this year against Vietnam. So that's all to come. Keeping with the world of football for the moment, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has released a very funny little five-second message to his former club, Manchester United, for their lack of goals during this season's EPL season. Here is Zlatan giving his message to Manchester United.
20 games, zero goals. What the f*** is that? Never heard about this. You want to learn how to score? You come to my school. I'll learn you how to score.
He wants to teach Manchester United how to score, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. We might ask Russell Milton about that after 6:30. Speaking of the Olympics a little earlier on, currently up on the Gold Coast are some of the greats of Australian swimming in a training camp building up to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Mitch Larkin is one of those people competing. He performed in Rio, unfortunately not to his standards, received the silver medal. This year, though, he's learning from those experiences in Rio, and he won't overload himself at this year's Olympics by announcing he will not compete in the 200-metre individual medley and the 200-metre backstroke.
It's a very difficult double. Ryan Lochte is probably the only person that's attempted it, you know, in the recent years, and I think unfortunately it cost himself an individual gold medal in those events. And so I said to Dean, and I've always been of the opinion, you know, one better swim is better off than sort of two average swims. So for me, there's no question of doing both.
So he's decided he's just going to focus on one of those things, and he knows this year, this time around, on the back of the Rio Olympics, was going in as favourite in 2015. He knows this time around he won't have the pressure of being the favourite for that Olympic backstroke gold medal.
2015 was a fantastic year, and I'm so grateful for it. But I sort of said straight away, you know, it was probably the best thing and the worst thing at the same time. You know, going into Olympics as the favourite, all eyes are on you, is quite daunting. And so this year, this time around, you know, it's completely different.
And he knows he's still going to dream about winning that elusive Olympic gold medal.
It means everything, you know. I think for me, you know, I grew up watching the 2000 Sydney Olympics and the likes of, you know, Hackey and Thorpe, and, you know, the list goes on. There's so many. Probably went into Rio knowing this was my best opportunity to come away with the Olympic gold medal, and I got silver, and I think, you know, I've sort of grown and changed since then.
Hopefully there's a gold medal for Mitch Larkin and for the Australians. Emma McKeon, she was up there as well. They asked her about the fact that in 2008 and again this year, the swimming finals are going to be scheduled in the morning rather than at night in Tokyo. Here's her opinion on what she thinks of finals in the morning.
I mean, I'm not actually much of a morning person, even though I wake up so early, so I'm trying to become a morning person.
So she's practicing by getting up early and jumping straight into the pool. It's funny that swimmers do train early in the morning to swim all their laps. They won't be ready for a final in the morning. Well, Michael Boll, the Swimming Australian coach, his thoughts on morning finals. He'll just find and pick the ones that are ready to go at that time of the morning.
Well, the ones that think like that won't swim fast in Tokyo. So, yeah, they really need to change the mindset. So I'll have a word to Emma about that. But I think, you know, going into Beijing, it was exactly the same. So, you know, we've got experience with that. The Beijing format in 2008 was exactly the same. And all it's really a matter of doing is shifting the mindset, because if you're not ready, there'll be other swimmers there that are ready to go with that.
Not far away from the Olympics kicking off for 2020. Back to the AFL before we finish up. Marley Williams of North Melbourne was yesterday handed a two-week suspension. So he missed the first two games of the year after his bump on Western Bulldogs' Ed Richards. Here is MRO officer Michael Christian discussing that suspension.
When you do elect the bump, you've got to bump fairly. And in this particular case, Marley's shoulder made contact with Ed Richards' head, and we know the ramifications of that. So first consideration is the conduct, so it was careless, and then it was a question of impact. And taking all the factors into consideration, the most appropriate grading was high.
So there we go. Marley Williams will miss the first two games of the season for North Melbourne. Dane Zorko, he receives a fine after pushing his opponent, which ended up being into his Brisbane Lions trainer. Just didn't look all that good on the vision, and subsequently he's been fined.
In this particular case, there was no injury sustained. Dane has been fined under misconduct provisions, which talk about being unsportsmanlike and unacceptable. So that was the view. We thought that his action, given the degree of force of his push on the boundary line, was unacceptable and unsportsmanlike, and as a consequence, he's been fined under misconduct provisions.
So there is Michael Christian talking about Dane Zorko fined under provisions. That is all for the Breakfast Bite this morning. Stay around because after 6 o'clock, Scotty Gallen, Adam White and Daniel Harford have the best of the Breakfast Club. Scotty Jemison is in the studio. Matty Clark from the Adelaide Crows. Max Gawn is the headline guest after 8 o'clock and plenty, plenty more. But coming up, it's the news with Johnny Bowden.